Yep. Thanks for joining us once again here on the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. It's your man Jay Hicks here behind the microphone. We have a very entertaining edition of the podcast here coming up shortly. Very special guest joining us this evening. We're recording this on a Monday night here, the day after the Grammy Awards took place. And got special guests on the line here shortly. But before we get into that, just wanted to quickly shout out the website again, hiphopsportsreport.com, and hit us on Twitter at HHSReport. Now, getting down to brass tacks, joining us this evening is a gentleman who is of the Recording Academy for that helps actually on the selection committee then of the Grammy Awards. He's a member of the Recording Academy, and he goes by the name of Fahrenheit out of Detroit, Michigan. He's will be joining us this evening. And just first, before we get into anything, Fahrenheit, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. And I want to start off by just asking a couple questions just about yourself so the public gets to know who you are, you know, where you're from, you know, how you got to be on the Recording Academy, and what kind of music are you into right now?
Hey, what up, JX? Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. You know, I think that this podcast and this discussion is going to be something good, and it's going to, you know, help shed some light on a few different things that you and I had discussed earlier. But again, I go by the name of Fahrenheit. I got started back in the day in high school, DJing, local parties, events, the pep rallies, all that good stuff. And we used to battle rap every day in school, like almost every day in the hallways, battle rap going back and forth. Who's the greatest? Who can talk about each other the most? And from that, you know, I just really, as the years passed, I got more serious about the art. Of course, again, for those who may not have caught it, is battle rap. So, of course, the art of rap, hip-hop culture. And, you know, I started doing that and really, like, trying to hone my skills. And then on top of all of that, making sure that the business side was right. So as I did that, I did my research. I became a member of ASCAP, which is one of the three majors for making sure that the publishing is right. You got ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. Who, you know, just making sure that artists and writers, songwriters, producers get their proper pay and due when royalties are out there in the marketplace. So I did that, and then I started copywriting all of my lyrics, my songs, and I put out a couple of albums independently and put them out in the marketplace. And then I wrote on some other compilations, some other projects, did some behind-the-scenes stuff, songwriting, management, all that good stuff. But in the process of that, I was trying to find out, like, as an independent artist, how do I get involved with something such as the Grammys? So when I did my research and I found out, you know, after you have so many albums or so many songs registered that has a barcode attached to them that's out in the marketplace, that's copyrighted, that you're able to apply as a voting member for the Grammys. And I applied, was accepted, and for 3 years now, I've been, you know, part of the Recording Academy as far as the whole selection process and the voting process, which, I said before to a lot of people about how I think the Grammys had the most fair process out of all the award shows out there. But we'll talk about that a little later as far as the whole process. But and from there, you know, that's how I got all of the business side of things, you know, taken care of. Right now I'm rocking, like my podcast is rocking with people from every genre. I love all genres of music personally, but hip hop is my love. I love the culture. So I'm rocking, you know, with my man Kendrick Lamar, which we'll talk about a little bit as well. Schoolboy Q, Black Milk right here from Detroit. Of course, I got some Royce on there, Slaughterhouse, Jay-Z. I tend to get into some of the more underground hip hop in the sense of people, if you say their name, people are like, who is that? Like Childish Gambino, I've been rocking with him a few years, but still I say his name and people are like, who is that? I've never heard of him in my life. So that's who's blowing up my iPod right now and I ride out. So.
All right. That's very dope, man. I definitely think that Detroit has always had a real, a real richness of hip hop culture, it seems like, has always come from that region of the country. I mean, the Midwest has always kind of been slept on a little bit, and you know, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, so you know, we've had a few artists here and there aside from Bone, who in my opinion is Bone is one of the greatest rap groups of all time, but aside from them, we've kind of been, you know, hit and miss with some of our artists here and there from time to time, but Detroit has always kind of known exactly who they are and what their sound is within hip hop, and so I've always thought that was very dope. And I'm with you, man. You know, Gambino is very dope. His album, I liked his album. It was unique. You know what I mean? It wasn't necessarily traditional hip hop, you know, but it was definitely unique. You know, The Crawl, I rocked to that all the time, you know. So, but kind of getting into a little bit of why we're having this conversation today. And to fill you in, listeners, as to why we kind of linked up for this interview. So recently, actually last year, I wrote an article on hiphopsportsreport.com about the Grammys and why I felt that it sucked, basically. And I kind of cited it once again as I wrote a piece about the Grammys leading up to last night's show. There were basically four main points that I wanted to get across to the reader, and that basically stemmed from the research that I had done on the Grammys and looking back historically at as far as who won in hip hop, you know, what kind of artists were winning those categories, and whether or not they were then winning at the highest level, album of the year, record of the year, song of the year, etc. And so this is kind of what I surmise from that. That number one, historically, the Grammys tend to favor white rappers, specifically Eminem, who I personally love. I love Eminem. Been a fan for well over 10 years. But, you know, it seems like they favor him and other white rappers regardless of the quality of work they put out. So, you know, Eminem has deserved to win Album of the Year before, but not every time he puts out an album. And it seems as though he wins it every time he puts one out, regardless of how good it is or the competition. Number two, that the more a rap artist or a group tends to stray away from what people would probably classify as traditional hip-hop, the more likely they are to receive recognition from the Grammy committee. So that basically means you take like an Outkast, you know, they've never been one to stick to traditional norms within music. You have Outkast that makes an album like Speaker Box Love Below. They win Best Rap Album. I believe they won Album of the Year that year. But most people probably would not classify that type of music as traditional hip hop, you know, at least not as much as something like, say, The Lox, for instance. Then you have a rap record will be given some recognition, but it would never be recognized to the point that it wins Album of the Year, with few exceptions like, you know, the Outkast album, or I think Lauryn Hill won Album of the Year. But Lauryn Hill is hip hop for sure, but, you know, there's a lot of R&B music, a lot of singing and stuff like that, a lot of soul on that record, too. And then lastly, the Grammys tend to screw up the best rap album category on many occasions. And so, again, Fahrenheit is here with us, and he's going to help us understand the Grammy selection process, the voting process, I should say. And so if you could, please walk us through exactly what the voting process is like. How does the voting work? What's the typical baseline criteria for winning an award? You know, is the criteria defined by each individual, or is there a set of rules or principles that everybody has to go off of? And how do you felt that that plays into what I thought were four truths about the Grammy selection process as it relates to hip hop? Were my points valid, or do you think that they may have been inaccurate?
I think you had some very valid points. I can agree with you on some of those points, but overall, I think there's some misconceptions out there that, again, somebody might be sitting behind the table saying, "Oh, okay, there's a white rapper this year, they're going to win automatically." It doesn't really play like that. So I'm gonna break down real quick how the whole selection process works, which it bothers me because it kind of plays into a culture thing on both ends. On one end, it plays into a culture thing because, unfortunately, with the Grammys being a voting process and becoming a member and being updated with your information and all that good stuff, traditionally, a lot of people in the hip-hop community don't, quote-unquote, have time for that, or, you know, they don't put the effort into it to make sure they're available to vote and to make their voice heard, unfortunately. So the process is really simple. They break it down. I believe it's by the end of August of each year. You have to have whatever album has to be complete in the marketplace and available for purchase in order to be considered for a Grammy for that January Grammy show. So, for example, everything that was nominated and people won this year, everything was supposed to be completed by August 31st of last year. After that happens, the first round of submissions happens from record labels, record label executives, executive producers, the top-notch people in the music industry. And then what they do is they send in a list, again, but they have to be a member. They have to be a voting member, and they have to be a part, you know, their membership has to be current, all that good stuff. So then they send it in, and they say, yo, we want to submit in Kendrick Lamar album for Rap Album of the Year or Album of the Year. So they send this out. And so everybody who they have a deadline, I believe it's the end of September, because the deadlines are really short. So at the end of the month, you have to send in, you can nominate 20 people for 20 different categories if you want. So then as a voting member, we get a ballot that says, okay, here are some of the selections that we have for each of the voting categories. So they'll have for rap, it start out with, it could be 15 different people for Rap Album of the Year. Every voting member goes through and they submit their ballot and say, these are the five people I think are best suited for Rap Album of the Year to be considered. So all of the, then that breaks it down to who's actually nominated. And then you'll see the Grammy a nomination award show that comes on and they announce who's nominated and what categories. Also, let me just go back. In that step as well, you're allowed as a voting member in one category to write in somebody. So if you have 15 people on that list for that particular category and you don't see the person that you think deserves to be in that category, you can write them in as well. So once that happens, it breaks down to the nominations. Once the nomination happens, your ballots are sent out. As a voting member, this is where it gets really tricky because as a voting member, the top four categories, everybody can vote in. That's Album of the Year, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and New Artist. Those everybody can vote for. Outside of that, you only have 20 categories you can vote in for between rap, R&B, jazz, gospel, classical, engineering, music video. It's a ton of categories, as a lot of people may know. So there's a ton of categories. And out of all of those categories, you only get 20 outside of the top four. So this is where I think the Grammys kind of have it messed up, but it's kind of unfortunate because, again, if you're not aware, then it's kind of hard to really make a difference, if you will. So when they send that out, if I choose that I want to vote in just say jazz, rap, R&B, and gospel, once I vote, I submit my votes, it goes to a third-party accounting firm who counts all the votes and it says, okay, this has the most votes, that's who won. Unfortunately, as I placed on a couple of social media networks and said, put out there in the universe, I got beat up a little bit about. Unfortunately, in the hip-hop culture, for those who are rappers and writers and producers and engineers and labels exec, not a lot of them are not even voting members of the Academy. So you run into they're not a voting member, yet we want certain people to win in certain categories, but you have to vote. That's the only way they can win. So it gets kind of tricky there, but I'll shut up for a minute so, you know, we can kind of elaborate a little bit more.
Well, yeah, let's stop there and recap. So it sounds like you start off once the submissions come in, and there's, like you said, a short window for that. The submissions come in, you get a list of potential nominees, and then of that list, you get to select, what is it, like four or five, you said?
It's five.
You get five. You get four plus a write-in, correct?
Correct.
And then you submit that off to an accounting firm, and then they tabulate the votes, and then they come back at you with the nominees, correct?
That is correct.
And then at that point, once you have the list of the nominees, the voting members then have to pick from that group who they feel is deserving, correct?
That's right.
Okay. And then you also said that you get to vote for only 20 categories. You get to vote for the top four, which is Album of the Year, I think it was Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and Best New Artist. Everybody gets to vote for those top four, and then you only get to vote for 20 other categories, right?
Correct.
Okay. Wow, that's fascinating. Okay, so how many voting members are there, do you think? Is it hundreds? Is it thousands?
It's a lot. It's I can't say an accurate number. I would dare to say that there is an upwards of 100,000 plus. I know there's several different chapters of the Grammys that kind of breaks it down by region. So you have Atlanta, Memphis, Philly, Chicago, Florida, New York, Texas. It's like LA. It's different chapters as well. The kind of obvious, but the members it has is tons, because you have to remember too, as a member, you may have an engineer that you have never heard of in your life that's worked on some of the best albums in the world that is a voting member, and then you have a recording engineer, and then you have a mastering engineer that all may be recording member voting members. Then you have songwriters, producers, executive producers, record labels, TV music producers. Like the list is so intense that I will have to say it's probably 100, maybe 200,000-300,000 voting members.
And then you did also say that the votes are confidential, correct?
They are confidential. They're really specific about that with each area. Like I said, they have the initial ballots and all of that. It has a big warning on the front that your judgment is based on, you know, your influence, what you believe is best based on the category. Do not share your voting with anyone. Don't share your ballot with anyone. Don't let anyone else fill out your ballot for you. It's pretty intense, and kind of just backstepping just a little bit, it's the same process with becoming a voting member. So, for example, Def Jam couldn't say, hey, Angie, the secretary, go and register all of our artists as voting members of the Academy. Each artist has to do it themselves. So.
Okay. And then, so if I understand the process correctly, then, so hypothetically, anybody can vote for the rap categories if they choose to vote for that genre. So, or take somebody like me, you know, I don't know a ton about country music, right? But if I'm a voting member, you know, I spend 90% of the time listening to hip hop or whatever, and then I might listen to some old school Motown or whatever. I might listen to some R&B. I might listen to some pop. Country never enters into the equation. But if I'm a voting member, I can choose to vote for the country categories if I choose to. Is that fair to say or no?
That is fair. Your 20 categories that you're allowed to vote in, you can say I love hip hop, but I'm gonna vote in all other categories and not hip hop. Or it was a particular category a couple of years ago that I wasn't particularly interested in that I normally vote in, and I just wasn't interested in voting in that because I wasn't familiar with the artist. Primarily, everybody in that category were new artists, and I'm like, well, to be fair, I'm not going to vote because I don't even know their music, I don't know their work. So to be fair, I'm not going to vote for one of them just as, oh, okay, well, any, mini, mighty, mo, I'll take that one, you know.
Right, right. So now that we understand kind of what the process looks like, let's again take it back to the article that I wrote. Do you believe that things like race can be a factor? I mean, because the perception that I've always had of it is, you know, a lot of times, you know, racism still exists. I mean, I think we can all admit that, right? And then you have, there's this history of black music that's been, I don't want to use the word taken, but it's been utilized by other races of people. But then it tends to receive different types of recognition when other races of people perform black music. And so that's kind of what it appears as though happens with Eminem. And Eminem is, again, one of the top 10 lyricists of all time, in my opinion. I wrote a Tale of the Tape, which is our album reviews. You know, I did a Tale of the Tape on Eminem's Marshall Mathers LP 2, and I made the argument that he is the best rapper of all time. I wasn't so much saying that he was, but I was just making the argument for him. Like, this is the case for Eminem as the best rapper of all time, and I listed everything off. So I don't have a problem with Eminem per se, but is it possible that people could look at him and say, he's white, we're going to prop him up in the field of hip hop or in the genre of hip hop simply because he's white? And I mean, the fact that he's white and he's talented, but you know, the fact that the racism factor can play into it. And do you think that had any impact on Macklemore's success last night, having won 4 Grammys? And to take it a step further, I even know people that seem to believe that because Macklemore supported gay marriage, and because that's been a hot button issue in this country for the last few years, but has seen a vast amount of support in recent years, even being legalized in certain states and things of that nature, that because he opened himself up as an ally to the LGBT community, that therefore he's automatically going to receive love from the Grammy committee off of that. Do you think that either of those things are possible, that race could be a factor, a determining factor into who wins these rap categories, and in Macklemore's case, the fact that he was an ally of the gay community, that could have aided him as well?
Absolutely, I believe so, in the sense of, like you said, I think, you know, Kanye said it best, racism's still alive. They just be concealing it. Like, it's there. We can't get away from that. It wasn't, you know, rap actually started out with the Grammys as only having one category. It was rap performance. That was the only category. So it grew from that to 6 categories and back down to like 4. But the whole point is, I believe that racism can play a part, but this is where I think it plays the part. I think it plays the part in the sense of, based on some research a friend of mine did, I still have to verify his research, but he's an attorney. He's an entertainment attorney. So I kind of am like 95-98% like certain that his research is good. He said that it's only 23% of who will be categorized as the hip hop community that are voting members in the academy. So you have to figure, if you have a bunch of people, I don't know for sure, but just say if you had Maybach Music and Atlantic Records, and just say 2 more, Young Money, Cash Money, just say if they were not voting members of the Academy, well, that's a major impact when you talk about the rap category. So you may have a Madonna that say, okay, I see Macklemore support, you know, same-sex marriage, and yeah, he's a white dude, and I'm going to vote in the rap category this year. So guess who I'm voting for? It kind of comes down to that. This is one of the things that I think could be worked on in the Grammys, as far as defining who's able to vote in certain categories, as well as over the last 3 to 4 years, I totally disagree with how it's structured as far as the nominations for those top 4, the new artists, Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Record of the Year, because if you look back in the history, generally you'll have somebody that end up sweeping those categories, because if they make a great album, then they probably got a great song on there and great recording, so it kind of, they actually end up sweeping the category, which I don't think is a fair assessment of that. So I honestly do think race can play a part, but I also think that us coming together as a hip-hop culture and community and saying, hey, I'm going to be a part of the process and my vote is going to count, just as we did with the presidential election of the last 2 terms, I think that that's where we'll see a difference, because, you know, you can't knock a vote. You can't say, okay, well, they voted for Kendrick Lamar, but he just didn't win. Like, there's no way you can kind of get around that, so.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because there's always been this cynicism within the black community, which, to be quite honest, is a shame when you consider all that, you know, our grandparents' generation went through to get us the right to vote. And then now there's this cynicism that I think a lot of black people deal with when it comes to voting and the voting process, that dissonance that kind of lets people trick themselves into thinking that their vote doesn't matter or that it doesn't count. And maybe there's truth to that. I'm not even saying that there isn't. But the fact that perception is out there, I think can just throw people off when it comes to processes like these. And so you look at something like you said, this is a voting process. This is a very democratic process, it sounds like. You know, who's to blame for that? Why do you feel that rappers and other members of the genre aren't becoming voting members? Is it just a lack of education on the subject, or do they all know and they just don't care about filling out their paperwork? Like, what's the deal? You know, who's to blame for it? Do you feel that these rappers and producers, et cetera, are the reason that the people that would be classified as traditional rappers aren't getting the recognition that people would think that they would receive on Grammy night?
I think it contributes to a part of it because, of course, since yesterday, if you're anywhere involved with hip hop, you've seen all type of posts and articles and blogs and Facebook posts about, you know, Kendrick not winning. But I think that the part that bothers me is I think that when we have certain people that start to say, kind of categorize the Grammys as, oh, that's a white award show and that's for white people and they're never going to let us do this and they're never going to let us do that. And it's like when you start to have that mentality, you know, if I tell 20 people, hey, don't go eat at this sub place because they're terrible, if half of those people don't go, then they tell another 20 people and half of those people don't go. Before you know it, the sub place is being put out there as a bad place when it's not really a bad place. It's just more of us are stepping away from it because of what we heard. And I think that I don't think we're being withheld. Again, if you have the right qualifications, the Grammys, the membership is straight up like, hey, if you have these songs and they're registered and they're properly put and you send us your information, you become a member. So it's not a thing of like, okay, we have to vote you in and we have to, you know, give you the opportunity to become a member. Me and my wife was talking about this issue. And she said, well, you know, how can you say for sure who's voting members, who's not, who's supporting the Grammys, who's not? I said, the reality of it, when you look at the hip hop community, how many people to come to the Grammys, you have to be invited. You can't just walk in and say, hey, I'm going to be the Grammy. So just by looking at the crowd and seeing who was there, who wasn't there, as far as the hip hop community showed who's voting members or who's really supporting it. So those same people who could have been there for Kendrick probably are not even voting members or probably had that mindset of, oh, you know what? You know, that's for the white people. That's the white people award show. So, interesting. You know, it's that catch 22, man. And I think the voting process, again, is one of those things. I remember in 2010 when Esperanza Spalding won New Artist of the Year. People on my social networks and my phone was blowing up and they were flipping out like, who is this? I've never heard of her. And she's a dope artist. But what happened is, again, people who they thought would win based on popularity didn't win because they're not voting members or people are not out there really doing their research, where Esperanza Spalding had worked with Prince and had worked with Clive Davis and work with people in the industry that's like, once you say you work with them, now when it's time to vote for a Grammy, guess who they're voting for? They're voting for the person they know, not this rapper guy that's like, yeah, he's cool, but I don't really know him. So it kind of, it's that catch 22.
And yeah, and once again, you raise an interesting point, because one thing that I wanted to ask you about was the political agenda of it. I feel like there has to be that side of the voting process where there's just, like Jay said, it's politics as usual. You know what I'm saying? You got, you know, people You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You vote for me here, I'll vote for you there. If you vote for me, I'll send a wave of my votes, you know, your way. All this being done under the table, of course, because as you referenced earlier, there's a very strict process that tries to eliminate that type of behavior. But it would seem to me that the politics of it and the agendas that people would have within the voting process, because they're only human, you know what I'm saying, that stuff would come into play. Do you believe that stuff is a factor?
I do. I think it's just like anything else. As I mentioned, like the year that Esperanza Spalding won, she was up against Drake, Justin Bieber, Florence and the Machine, and Mumford and Sons. So her name being on there, it was like automatic. Everybody was like, I know it's probably going to be Justin Bieber or Drake. You know, they're the hottest right now. And when she won, people flipped out. But I think, again, the circles that she worked in, far as, you know, the people that she had worked with, I'm sure that, you know, Clive Davis have a party every year for the Grammys. Diddy has a party every year for the Grammys. And I'm sure prior to those parties, they're having, you know, the nomination parties where they're saying, hey, my new artist is nominated. Did you hear about that? Okay, yeah, good. You know, hey, when you get ready to vote, make sure you remember the name, just like in politics. I mean, you know, because you're allowed to promote yourself in the sense of, hey, I'm up for a new artist of the year, vote for me. You're able to say that. There's no rules against that. But people are supposed to vote based on, again, the project or the music or the genre, not so much of, oh, hey, you know, I'm just voting for you because I like you, or just because this person told me to, or I gave my ballot to my wife and told her to fill it out. Like, you don't supposed to do that. Again, just like anything else in this world, I'm sure people are doing it.
Fahrenheit, do you believe that most of the voting members classify rap and hip hop as a second class genre?
That's a good question. Honestly, because of actually looking at the ballot and having my own personal bias with some stuff, I think rap is probably more accepted than we think, because there's categories that people win Grammys for that, I mean, they're not televised, and sometimes they don't even mention them. And even during the nomination process, it's almost like they're forgot about. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a second-class category, or, you know, they look at it like, that's just a little rap category. Especially in the sense of they actually, a couple of years ago, they took away some jazz categories. It was more jazz categories. They took away some jazz and they left rap categories alone. So I feel like if they thought that way, we probably would only have maybe best rap album, best rap performance. Like, you know, I would say no. I don't think it's viewed as like a secondary or, you know, back burner type category.
Now, let me ask you this. This is something that in doing my research last year for the article that I wrote about the Grammys and just looking at, again, the list of the artists who've won and who hasn't won. And you know, we've kind of, you know, touched on this in varying degrees already, just on the process and everything like that. And I'll just give the listeners a quick synopsis for Rap Album of the Year. So this year, obviously, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis won for The Heist. Last year, Drake won for Take Care. Kanye West won for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy in 2012. Eminem for Recovery in 2011. Eminem again for Relapse in 2010. We saw Lil Wayne with The Carter 3 in 2009. Kanye West, The Graduation, 2008. We kind of go back from there. Other artists that have won Rap Album of the Year include Ludacris, Outkast, Jay-Z, P. Diddy and the Family, The Fugees, and the very first winner was Naughty by Nature back in 1996, which beat out Me Against the World, Tupac Shakur, which is a head scratcher if I've ever heard one, and Bone Thugs and Harmony, East 1999 Eternal. I have to ask, man, why does it seem like the Grammys don't recognize Nas ever existed?
Honestly, in my opinion, I don't know if Nas went through this, but I know a couple of the artists that has went through this that I can't necessarily name for the purpose of I am a voting member. But it's kind of one of those things of if I go on Fox and I say, you know what, I want to come on this news station to tell everybody in the world that this place in Detroit, Michigan, nobody should go to, they suck, and I don't like them. And then later I go to that place and I say, hey, can you make me some food? They're going to look at me like, are you crazy? You're banned from here. You can't even come here. So I believe that sometimes we shun ourselves in the sense of being recognized because of us disassociating with the powers that be. Again, the Grammys, just like the American Music Awards and People's Choice, it's one of those, it's an award show just like any other where you have certain influences. And so when you have a label, again, that for your label to be, your label has to be involved to submit your stuff to say, hey, you know, you need to consider them for a rap album of the year or song of the year or whatever it may be. But sometimes when you shun those things, or your lyrics kind of shun those things, it's almost like, yeah, are you going to make the final ballot? You know, I mean, like in the mind of a voter or mind of somebody who's not a hip hop culture person, they can look at it and say, hey, I got Drake, I got Jay-Z, I got this person, I got this person, I got Nas. So I got 10 to choose from. I only can choose 5. Which one am I not going to choose? So I can't say that how the process is work. I can't say that it's the Grammys or the Recording Academy saying, hey, Nas don't exist. I think it might be more so the label he dealt with and the people he dealt with, and even getting down to, you got to, you know, remember that whole behind the scenes beef thing of people saying, certain people saying they're not going to let other people albums see the light of day. So when you have stuff like that happening, you know, you never know if his information was even submitted to be considered, you know, because there was so much beef back then. So, I don't know. I can't. Ugh. I liken it to, I said this to my wife earlier, and she said it was a good analogy, and, you know, me talking to you, I should use it, is that I said, you know, it's unfortunate, but in the music industry, it's just like the sports industry, where you have some great players out there that's never been really acknowledged for their work, or they never won a championship, or never been crowned MVP of the year, or, you know, never really talked about their record setting as much as somebody who was more popular at the time, you know, or who dominated the game at the time. It's almost like everybody else falls into the backlight of those persons that actually won it. Because if you look at just, even though, okay, Miami Heat won the championship, but if you look at other people's stats and stuff throughout the year and say how great they were, people don't remember that. They're remembering LeBron James, Miami Heat champions. Like, they don't care about who else really did anything. So I think, unfortunately, sometimes that can kind of happen in our industry as well, where you don't get the credit you deserve, but you're still an awesome person. So.
I'm sure Nas appreciates that. He may not have any mantles on or any trophies on the mantle at home, but, you know, he knows that he's an awesome person. You know what I'm saying? Nah, I mean, I don't know. It's tough. You know, I think he should have won last year. Personally, I thought he should have beat Drake. I thought Life Is Good was better than Drake's album. I mean, not to take anything away from Drake's album, because it was a very solid solid record, Take Care, but I just thought that Life Was Good was pushing the culture forward in a way that nobody else was, because he was making music for the 30 and up crowd, and it was dope, you know. Even the 40 and up crowd, you know, he's rapping about his daughters, and he's rapping about divorce, and these are issues that real people, real cats go through when you hit 35, 40, which is where he is. You know, and he's not 25, you know, rapping about, you know, banging chicks that he met and one nighting them and then writing love sonnets back to him like Drake does. And that sounds like I'm taking shots at Drake. I'm really not. You know what I'm saying? But that's just, you know, I'm a huge Nas fan, and I know a lot of other people are. And they look at the Grammys, and just like you said, they look at the Grammys and they say, the Grammy Award for Rap Album of the Year is the MVP award. It is the NBA or the championship for hip hop that year. At least it's supposed to be. But then when you see artists like Nas having never won one, it makes you question the process. At least it does in the eyes of some people. And getting back to the criteria real quick, Fahrenheit, when you go to vote, when you go to cast your ballots on hip hop records, whether they be song, whether they be, you know, album, what is your criteria? What do you look for specifically? Do you look for just dope lyrics? Is it beat selection? Do the lyrics supersede everything? Is it impact? Is it cultural impact? Is it radio spins, record sales? What moves the needle for you when you go to vote?
Well, now, if I could, I just want to throw this in there so I don't forget. First, like, album of the year as a whole, generally that category, just to be honest, until they change some things, criteria and things of that nature, we probably won't see a lot of rap in that album, because that criteria plays into instrumentation, engineering, recording, all, like the whole package of a recording an album. So sometimes I don't think we, in the hip hop culture, we don't put as much time into all of that stuff, as far as like, okay, well, this person can engineer at $200 an hour, we'll take him, versus the guy that's charged $1,000 an hour, but they may have worked on some of the greatest albums of all time. So it's kind of like, I think that's, we have a ways to go as far as that category. For me, the process when I'm voting, again, I'm just that person. I've always been like this. I try to be fair. I can go into it having a favorite album at that point. But when I look at it as a whole, who made a good quality album as far as their singles, as far as the production, lyrically, the concept, the theme of it, did they stick with the theme throughout, or did they start out with an album that was like, okay, it's about shoeboxes, but then they ended up talking about building houses? Like, okay, well, where are you at with it? I look for the consistency of it. And again, in the voting process, it gets hard sometimes. You have categories where you're like, ooh, I liked all these albums. And then you try to narrow it down and say, okay, well, these probably was my two favorite based on this. And between the two, who deserves it better? And sometimes it could be almost like a flip of the coin as far as your final vote and decision. But I try to look at the overall, if it's for a particular song or like one of the categories that I think sometimes kind of just we don't maybe not look at as much is rap performance category. And when you talk about that, it's like, what's the performance of that song? Are you giving drama, or are you just up there and you spit your lyrics and you keep it moving? So it's like the actual performance of that song. Is that somebody you're going to call and say, hey, perform this for this award show or for this special event or for this halftime show? Or is it somebody that's like, yeah, I'm not going to call you for that? So
I'm glad you brought that up, because I even referenced on the website that what is rap performance? Like, I didn't really know what that meant, but you're basically saying it's very literally how that artist would perform that song, or how they maybe have performed it at concerts, or how they performed it on their album. You know, is it like the voice inflection? Is it, you know, just different concepts that's used within the record, things of that nature? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely. Like, one of my favorite to reference for that is 2008, Swagger Like Us won Best Rap Performance by a duo or group. And I think when you look at that song and the concept of it, and, you know, using the sample they use and the team or the people they put together for that song, it's like there's no way to look around it. That same year, Lil Wayne won Best Rap Solo Performance for A Milli. And when you think about A Milli, he took a song that was like, it was kind of basic in the sense of the production, and he ripped it. But then he had every artist in the industry saying, I got to spit something over this beat. Like, it was that infectious of a track and production that, you know, it deserved it. So, it's kind of like the overall, not just, you know, okay, it was a nice song, but more of like, oh, let me see you perform this, and would I call you to perform it for a stadium event, or would I not, you know?
Right, right. I think I'm kind of understanding that now. Thanks for clearing that up, because that was bugging me for a while. And I think it's interesting too that you referenced the socioeconomic factors that may go into Album of the Year. That's something that I hadn't really considered. But like you said, when you get, you know, engineers to get on a record that you know, when you pay top dollar for some of the best or most well-known engineers, you're more likely, especially people that have been around for a long time, you're more likely to get those votes. That's something that I hadn't really considered. And the socioeconomic impact of it, I mean, when you look at a lot of the rappers that come up, they literally come from nothing, and they can't afford, you know, the top-notch producers or engineers right out the gate, you know what I mean? So I think that is an interesting point. Let me ask you this. What do you feel the Grammys have done for hip-hop to this point, and do you feel like it's enough?
I don't think that it's enough. I think we still have some ways to go. You know, when you talk about an award show, that's what was it? This is the 56th Grammy Award. Like, so, you know what I'm saying? You're talking about something that has been going on before there was even a rap category. It's one of those things that little by little, it started to kind of make its way. I think we have some ways to go. I believe that the Grammys can definitely open up some more doors. Even far as performance-wise, things of that nature. But I personally, again, being a lover of music as a whole, I think that they've done a great job, again, going from even just one rap category to now four. At one point, I think it was at six, but there was a point, I don't know if you remember, but the Grammys just come on, it was 3.5 hours long, and they still didn't get everybody in. And it was like, okay, now this is ridiculous. We have to narrow some of these down. Especially when you got into, you had best R&B performance male, best R&B performance female, best R&B performance solo, best R&B, you know, and it's like, you're kind of getting redundant there. You can combine some of those. So I think that they can probably do a little bit better. But overall, I mean, like, I've heard mixed reviews, but I think it was a good combination of different genres of music on the performance side yesterday. That's just my opinion. I mean, you had everything from R&B to country to rap and rock. And, you know, I think it was a great balance, personally. So.
When I look at Kendrick's performance with Imagine Dragons last night and how much of a, I mean, that was a performance in every definition of the word. And then they cut straight to the country girl right after that. And it was like, you know what I'm saying? It was just... It was like a screeching halt.
I think we all can agree that was probably probably one of the worst transitions in world music history. I dare to say that Kendrick and Imagine Dragons had the best performance last night of the night, in my opinion. But, you know, I guess it's a matter of what you like as well. So.
I'm not going to ask you about any specific category because of the fact that you can't really divulge who you voted for specifically, but holistically, Kendrick Lamar got nominated for 7 Grammys and he won 0. Yes or no, do you think Kendrick Lamar got robbed?
Absolutely. I think overall he got robbed. I think that it's probably a couple different ways he got robbed, in a sense of he got robbed in, and those who of us who's a part of the hip hop culture, again, that's not voting members, I think that played a part in some categories. Just being real and straight up, I personally don't think he necessarily deserved to win. But again, that's my opinion.
You mean Kendrick?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that Kendrick should have had a 7 award nomination and 7 award sweep. And,
I see. Got you.
But, you know, I like I said, I love the cat. I do think, you know, when you look at it overall, it's like, wow, here's probably one of the future, you know, if you will, Hall of Famers of music. And he's like his first year of really being out there and getting, you know, nominated for all of these categories and not winning one thing. It's like, wow. You start to ask some questions, but then you also start to look at, again, some of the who you're up against. I'll just say this for you know, as far as trying to keep it basic, but like with album of the year, as much as that would have been great for him, or even Macklemore in the sense of hip hop or rap, I just, when I look at the people in that category, I'm like, yeah, they don't really have a chance in that category. So it's like, you know, yeah, you know, a couple of the categories I think he should have, I personally think he should have won, but again, you know, when you have those voting that some of them don't really know a Kendrick, or they're not as up on him as, you know, sometimes we think people are bigger than what they are because we're involved in it. Because in the hip-hop culture, again, if you throw out the name Black Milk, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I heard of him. He dope. But if you go into a boardroom with record label executives and say Black Milk, you might have one to say, yeah, I think I've heard of him. He's out of somewhere in Chicago, right? Like, no, Detroit. I was close, you know. So it's, you know, that's where I think, you know, overall we have to look at, like, why sometimes, you know, the people that we would like to win don't always win.
So it sounds like you would say then that that name value does impact voting. Or you know, and I don't even know if maybe it's fair to say that a guy could maybe, is if it's possible for a person to win like a career achievement award. Like sometimes you see that with the NBA, like they'll vote all NBA guys and they'll give them a career award. Like, oh, this guy's been, you know, he's been around for a long time. We'll just throw him in there. Or you look at like Kobe Bryant in the All-Star game. Like Kobe played like three games this year and he's supposed to be starting in the All-Star game. The guy can't even walk. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it doesn't make a ton of sense, but it seems like either name recognition or to a lesser extent, possibly just the career achievement thing could come into play. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. I personally, I know, you know, I don't like to put guarantees out there, but I think based on his ability, I definitely don't think this is the last we've seen of Kendrick at the Grammys, and I believe he will be a Grammy winner. But like one of the categories I'll just speak on, just because I didn't actually vote in the category, but best rock song. When you look at, you know, the category, who's in a category, it's like, well, who really should win? But Paul McCartney was on one of the songs. So it's like, okay, here you have one of the Beatles on one of the songs. It's like when people start to look at it and people who vote in that category, they're like, oh, that's Paul. Like, that's Sir Paul. Like, I can't not vote for him. You know, that's, I think that's how some people think. So, of course, they won in that category. But, you know, they're up against a fairly new artist. In a sense, and then you're up against some other old school cats, but for the most part,
right.
Like,
right.
Look who this is, you know, on this song. So, I definitely think that plays a part in that, and you know, the voting process for some people. And then you have those like myself, like I said, that I think really, sit down and weigh it out and not just, you know, pick based on popularity, if you will.
That rock category was unbelievable because it was like Paul McCartney and Ozzy Osbourne and like Steven Tyler. It's,
yeah,
like, it was, really?
It was like, wow. But, you know, the I think Jay-Z is giving hip-hop what rock has had, you know, all these years. It's like these cats are in their 70s, like still making albums and writing and in the studio. They're like, are you serious? You're 70 and still in the studio? But hey, you know, they doing it. But
can you imagine if it was like Kool G Rap and like Rakim and Grandmaster Flash and Big Daddy Kane was up for for best rap performance?
That would be crazy. I mean, I think, and again, it's one of those situations though. You gotta think about it, if somebody from, you know, back in the day and one of the pioneers dropped the album. Just say if Run DMC dropped the album without, of course, Jam Master Jay, rest in peace. But if Run and DMC decide we're going to drop an album and we're going to put it out there, we're going to tour, and they got to put in best rap album category, even though you want to say, okay, that might not necessarily be the best album, you're going to have a lot of people going to say, that's Run DMC, I'm voting for them. Whether the album was better than the next person's or not, you're going to have that situation, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but it's just that hip-hop has typically been a young man's game, and now we're seeing the evolution of the genre. It's getting older now, and, you know, a lot of rappers that I grew up liking, a lot of and loving, and I'm sure a lot of rappers you grew up loving are now entering or are already in their 40s, and it's like, okay, this is new. This is uncharted territory. One thing I wanted to get real quick, and I appreciate all of your time this evening, Fahrenheit. Thank you. I wanted to get a couple more thoughts about Macklemore specifically. The controversy going in about him not being eligible for hip hop and that whole thing, and then you had people from the recording academies on the rap side saying that he wasn't rap, he sold too many records or whatever, and he was more pop. That controversy, and then also the apology that he wrote to Kendrick Lamar. I don't know if you got a chance to see that, but if you did, do you think that was genuine? Because I know some people thought that he was sneak dissing on that, like trying to say, like, yeah, it's a shame that I robbed you. Some people thought he may have meant something by that. I didn't. I thought it was pretty genuine. I think Macklemore comes off to me as a class act. But what did you make of that apology? And what did you make of the alleged controversy leading into the Grammys about whether or not Macklemore was in fact a hip hop artist?
I agree with you on that. I really believe that it was genuine. I believe that he sincerely said, you know, meant that in a sense of his respect for Kendrick. Like, yo, you know, I mean, we've seen it in the past too, where people are nominated and when they get called up, they're like, oh my God, how did I win against these people who I admire? And so I think that he was sincere. Now, how he did it, or, you know, his wording could have been like maybe a little bit more polished, but I think he was sincere of like, I shouldn't have won this, really. Like, what the heck? How did I win this over him? As far as the genre and the category, you know, how you categorize what he do, you know, like, ultimately he's categorized as rap under the genre, but you kind of go, it becomes the catch 22 because the same controversy, in a sense, we were talking about at our Grammy party was Taylor Swift. It's like, if you listen to her songs, those are pop songs, but she's categorized as country. So it's like, you know, where do you draw the line there? Unfortunately, you have a situation where with a lot of the music industries, with the publishing companies, things of that nature, once you set your genre, you can set it and say, that's what I am. You know, you can come out and be a rapper and say, I am a pop artist. And after you put it in there and put it out in the atmosphere so long, then they start to recognize you as they're a pop artist. They're not a rapper. And you're like, no, they're a rapper. And they're like, no, I'm a pop artist. So it's kind of like, what do? You know, so that's going to be, I think, for an ever going battle of back and forth, like I said, with Taylor Swift, some of her songs, and what's the other girl, Kelly Clarkson, and the other girl that's country but sound pop. Like, it's a lot of them that's going to be like, you're going to get into that, you're supposed to be country, but you sound more pop or more R&B-ish, or, you know, not getting off too much, because I know, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but just even the controversy they had, I don't know if you heard about with the Image Awards, the NAACP Image Awards, and Robin Thicke and Justin Timberlake being nominated for an award. And they're like, well, they're not black. And yeah, but the award show was never created specifically for black people. So it's like, now you get into a thing of, again, if you create something like an award show, can you really put in a race factor and say, well, nobody else is welcome, if you have a title such as R&B, because they're considered R&B. It doesn't say black R&B. You know, it doesn't say you have to be an African-American R&B artist. It says R&B artist. So if they have the best R&B album, how can you not allow them to be in that category? So it gets really tricky when you start talking about genres and categories and...
Yeah, I was gonna say, you see weird things at award shows. You know, you had Macklemore last night. He did his performance, and I thought his performance was very cool. And of course, he had the marriage ceremonies take place on the Grammy floor. Some of them were gay marriages, others were not, but some of them were interracial. There seemed to be no, you know, it was come as you are. It didn't really seem to matter. But then you see Macklemore, he's like flanked by a choir on stage, and it's like, like that's kind of. That's interesting.
I don't know how you put those together, but okay.
Exactly. But what can you say? Last official interview question, Fahrenheit. Who wins the Super Bowl and why?
Wait, who's playing in the Super Bowl again?
Oh, man, I hope you're joking.
Yeah, I am. Because none of my teams won or are in the Super Bowl, so my mind is like, who cares? honestly, I think proving the point, I really think that the Broncos are going to pull it out. I just think your man's Manny is like he's trying to pull a prove a point. In my opinion, like I have a conspiracy theory sometimes with sports, so don't judge me. But I didn't think that I thought it would be two teams that we didn't necessarily expect going into the playoffs will be in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and that's what I see. But I think Denver's going to pull it out.
Yeah, no, I just figured I'd throw that in there, see if I'd ask. You know, I'm actually on record of saying Seattle is going to win it. I had Seattle before the season started, but I definitely screwed up the AFC side of things as far as my Super Bowl pick is concerned. But I had Seattle from the beginning, so I'm sticking with the Seahawks. But
anyway, this year I was all off.
yeah, absolutely. And like I said before, man, I'm a Browns fan, so you don't need to tell me about your team not making it, because my team hasn't made it ever in my entire life. Has my team made it to the Super Bowl?
Right. I'm the same way, you know. I'm a Detroit Lions fan to the day I die, even though I'm like, yeah. I told my son the other day, I said, yeah, I probably will never be able to take you to see our home team playing the Super Bowl, you know, but, you know, it is what it is.
I guess so. We have to, like, all we have, we can go back and watch footage of, like, Otto Graham versus Bobby Lane from, like, back in the 50s. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty much, as Browns fans and Lions fans, that's pretty much all we have.
You just got the old school throwback.
Yeah, we got NFL films. That's what we have. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, Fahrenheit. We had a fantastic podcast. We ran really long. It was over an hour, I think, when you add it all together. We had some technical difficulties that will be edited out, of course. But I appreciate you sticking with us and being on the podcast. Anything else you wanna plug before you get out of here?
No, I'm not necessarily a big plug person, but you can, you know, follow me on Twitter, Fahrenheit. I actually spell it a little different, Phrenheyt, Fahrenheit, on Twitter. And if you just Google Fahrenheit, you'll find all of my various sites that I have. I'm a part of a lot of different things in entrepreneurship. I want to say again, man, thanks for having me on to kind of, you know, speak out on this. And hopefully, you know, in the future we can do some stuff together. Definitely got your site, hiphopsportsreport.com, in my favorites now. Definitely be supporting and telling people to check it out. I think it's, you know, a great site and got some great content as well. So I appreciate, you know, the network here.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. You know, the pleasure was all mine having you on. And hopefully we'll be able to get together in the future and do some more podcasts, have you on a website, maybe do a guest blog, whatever you want to do, man. I'm open to it.
Yes, sir. Let's make it happen.
All right, man. Thank you very much. Take care.
All right. God bless.
Same to you. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Our interview with Fahrenheit. Thank you once again. I don't even know that brother. I reached out to him on Twitter after we had this discussion about the Grammys. I told him about the podcast, and he agreed to do it. So thank you, Fahrenheit. Shout out to him once again. Follow him on Twitter, and we may have him on again in the future. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. This is a very special podcast. I thought it was very informative. When you get a chance, hit up our website, hiphopsportsreport.com. Hit us on Twitter at HHSReport. We're going to shout out Macklemore since he had 4 Grammys last night. You know, maybe he robbed Kendrick, maybe he didn't, but we don't care. He's going to show him some love right now on the podcast. Shout out to Kendrick, too. But this is Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Can't hold us. We out of here, y'all. Peace. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my INDEPENDENT shit hustling. Chasing dreams since I was 14 with the 4-track busting. Halfway across that city with the back. Crush shit. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people, spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us.
kick it, thank you. Yeah, I'm so damn grateful. I grew up really wanna go fronts, but that's what you get when Wu-Tang raised you. Y'all can't stop me. Go hard like I got an 808 in my heartbeat. And I'm eating at the beat like it gave a little speed to a great white shark on shark. We raw. Time to go up, gone. Deuces, goodbye. I got a world to see. And my girl, she wanna see Rome. Caesar make you a believer. Nah, I never ever did it for a throne. That validation comes from giving it back to the people. Now sing this song and it goes like, raise those hands, this is our party. We came here to live life like nobody was watching. I got my city right behind me. If I fall, they got me. Learn from that failure, gain humility, and then we keep marching.
And we go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So